Have you ever traded something for something else? Made a deal? Have you ever made a deal like that? Probably most of us have swapped something out. I remember as a teenager, and some of you may remember this, I remember trading baseball cards. Do y'all remember that? I know Brother Ralph told me that he remembers trading baseball. You remember that? Trading baseball cards. Well, you ever go to yard sale? Probably some of you go to yard sale. You make trades. Maybe you swap out this for that. I don't know. Somebody said this: what's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and can leap over a building in a single bound? A woman at a yard sale. All right. That's the answer. It could be a man at a yard sale, the truth be known. But anyway, I want to preach today on the subject. The Lord put this in my heart this week. I've used the text before the last number of years, but God gave me a fresh message. What a deal of a lifetime. That's the title. What a deal of a lifetime. And you want to know how to live, as Garrett prayed a moment ago, in revival, day by day, personal revival. It's right here. But you know, speaking of a deal of a lifetime, did you hear about the story of this antique expert that was walking down the road and he noticed a flea market and he said, I think I'll go in that flea market. And as he walked into the flea market, he noticed a gray cat licking white milk out of an expensive antique bowl. He could detect it was an expensive bowl, to say the least. In fact, it was worth thousands of dollars. He thought to himself, the flea market owner probably has no idea how expensive this antique bowl is. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just make an offer to buy that cat, and maybe I can just get the bowl as well. And so he said to the store owner, he said to the flea market manager, the owner, he said, how much is that gray cat for sale? I'd like to buy that gray cat over there. And the flea market owner said, well, let's see, I believe that gray cat would be about $50. He said, $50? Wow, that's kind of expensive. He said, but I'll tell you what, it looks like a good cat. I think I'll buy that gray cat right over there. And so as he paid the money for the gray cat, he reached down to pick up the cat. And the antique owner said to the flea market owner, said, by the way, this bowl right here the cat was licking out of, I think, is it right if I just take it along with me? And the flea market owner said, no, put it down. I've sold 65 cats this week because of that bowl right there. So sometimes we're not aware of the trading and the exchange and the bargaining that goes on. Well, I'll tell you what, there will be today, there are four exchanges, four trades, yea, four trades, let me put it that way, that you cannot refuse to make today. Four trades you cannot, in fact, if you make these trades today, I'll assure you, you'll be walking, and I'll be walking in the will of God. We will be fulfilling God's purpose. We'll become more usable for the Lord. How many want to become more usable for the Lord? I do. And if you'll listen to this, and if you'll pay attention, and if you'll apply the truth of what God's going to say to us today, it'll be the very key that unlocks the door to victorious Christian living. What a deal of a lifetime. What a deal of a lifetime. Take your Bibles and turn to one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Where? The book of Galatians, chapter 2. Turn to Galatians 2. Stand to your feet as we read one verse today. Galatians chapter 2. As you're turning to Galatians chapter 2, let me remind you the Apostle Paul is writing this particular epistle, and it just so happens that he's addressing several things concerning not only this church of Galatia, but rather all churches in Asia Minor. And here's the message that he has to bring. Legalism, throw it out the window. In fact, there were believers there in this church and in other churches that were saying you could be saved for some other gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, was buried, on the third day rose again. And then Paul refutes. He absolutely denies the fact that people can be saved by keeping the law or keeping the Ten Commandments or ceremonialism or circumcision or any other man-made rules. Rather, man is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the church said, And wait a minute, but not only are we saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, but we're to live the same way. And he says to the Galatian believers, you foolish Galatians, don't try to go back in the legalistic ways of living in the flesh, trying to please God, but keep on living this way. I bring your attention to verse 20 of chapter 2. Here it is. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified. Past tense. The Greek scholars tell us this is a aorist tense verb, meaning I have been crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, said the Paul, as he's led by the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Notice, but Christ liveth in me. But Christ liveth in me. Say that with me. But Christ liveth in me. One more time. Do you believe Christ lives in you? If you're saved, but Christ lives in me now. Oh, yes, he does. Notice, but Christ liveth in me. Back to verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, I like this, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. Say that with me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Here is a verse that's absolutely pregnated with truth. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about, Millette, and any others. I know Jennifer's not here this morning, but any of you women that understand the terminology of pregnancy, understand this verse is full of life. Father, I bless you now for the word of God. I praise you, Father God, for the truth of your word that, dear Lord, you know how to make us overcomers. You know how to live in us and through us and to help us to rise above the world, the flesh, and the devil. I thank you, blessed God, you've not left us to ourselves to flip-flop on a bank like a fish out of the water, but you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us the Lord Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes and ears and our hearts that we'd see who we are in you and what provisions you've made for us to be more than conquerors. Lord, all the bad habits, all the besetting sins, all the stuff that weighs us down, we ask now to liberate us, loose us, and dear God, break the strongholds of the enemy and bring us into freedom today and help us, dear Lord. And I pray for myself as well, not only for a fresh cleansing, but a fresh obedience to your word and a yieldedness to the power of the Holy Spirit, that you might fill us afresh today, that dear God, we wouldn't play games with each other, but rather, Lord, we'd just yield and surrender and let you take control. Oh God, release your power within us and we'll give you glory and praise because you alone are worthy in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, you may be seated. There are four trades you don't want to miss. Four trades you don't want to miss in this text. And here they are. Number one, how about trading your and my disobedience for his obedience? Number one, how about trading your disobedience, my disobedience, for his obedience? Number two, how about trading our death to self, our death to our own life, to life in Christ Jesus? You want to put it another way? Number two, how about trading your crucifixion for his resurrection? How about trading your crucifixion for his resurrection? Number three, how about trading the flesh-filled life? Notice, the flesh-filled life. Say it with me. The flesh-filled life for the spirit-filled life. Say it with me. The spirit-filled life. That's number three. Number four, these are four bargains you can't afford not to make today. You can't afford to refuse them today. It's not something in the past. It's everyday living. It's moment by moment. Number four, how about trading your and my down look for the up look? How about trading the down? You've been discouraged, haven't you? You've been down. You're facing some troubles. You've got cares on your mind. Understand, we can trade the down look for the up look. Or if you want to put it another way, how about trading our earthly home for our heavenly home? Follow with me. And in the book of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me now. Do you believe that? Is Christ living in you? You need to probably pinch yourself and say, you know what? Jesus is living in me right now. You see, Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the deal. The exchange. Do you want me to tell you the key to living the Christian life? It's an exchange life. It's a trade life. It's a bargain life. It's a swap life. My sins for his death. Hallelujah. Paid in full. My death for his life. Take self, go to the cross. Third, my flesh life. You see, you got a choice. I've got a choice. You want to live in the flesh? God said you can live in the flesh. You want to live a carnal life? God says you can live a carnal life. Or you and I, by faith, can take the flesh and appropriate it by faith, put it on the cross as God has done. We'll see it in a moment. And thus ask God the Holy Spirit to fill us and lead us and guide us rather than us being led by the flesh. Number four, it's an exchange life. It's a bargain. Yea, it's a deal of a lifetime. You cannot refuse this deal today. If you refuse this deal today, you and I will miss out on the greatest opportunity to live a life that's supernatural, a life that God has provided for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus, to make us more than conquerors. And I say thank you, Lord, for victory in Jesus. We sing victory in Jesus, but the truth is we're not living in victory in Jesus. The truth is worry has got us bound down. The truth is we got financial bills in the mail that we can't seem to deal with. We've got sickness and physical ailments that keep carrying us down over and over again. The truth is we get mad and angry when something happens and we can't seem to get a breakthrough. Oh, but God said it's not my fault, it's your fault, amen, because God has made provision for us to live in victory. But let me say this, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I am saying as a child of God, we should not listen. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. Amen. Look up here. I'm not saying that we're going to live a life that's above sin, sinless perfection, but I'm saying this, we ought to get to a place in our life where sin is not the normal anymore, it's the normality anymore, it ought to be the abnormal. Once we begin born of the family of God, it ought to be occasion, but not dominating us, not being our master, not being our boss anymore, because hallelujah, Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Amen. Tell me, are you living in victory? Tell me, is the flesh dominating you? Tell me, is the flesh-filled life controlling your thoughts and your actions and your will? Well, number one, let's exchange our disobedience for his obedience. Hold your place in Galatians 2:20. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. In the book of Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans. We're going to use a scripture this morning, if you don't mind. We are at church, amen. And in the book of Romans, you notice that Paul wrote to these believers, Jews and Gentiles. In fact, if you trace history, you find out that this particular church was probably established, founded when? After the day of Pentecost. After the Holy Ghost came upon those believers, and thus they were dispersed throughout the known world at that time. And consequently, a church was born. What church? The Church of Rome. It was comprised of both Jews and Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul addresses several issues in the book of Romans, one of which is found in chapter 1, 2, and 3. It's the word condemnation. Say it with me. Condemnation. One more time. And then chapter 4 and 5, the key word is justification. Say it with me. Justification. Chapter 6, 7, and 8, the key word is sanctification. Say it with me. Sanctification. Chapter 9, 10, and 11, election. Say it with me. Election. Chapter 12 through 16 is dedication. Why did I just say that? Am I trying to show up because I know this? No. I'm giving you a background to let you know this is the book of Romans. This is the context in which we're reading, and we don't need to take scripture out of context. We need to read it into context. Somebody say amen. All right, Romans chapter 5. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, here's the key terms. I'm leading you up to our text today. Notice, I'm not grabbing a verse out of context. Rather, I'm keeping it in context by the Spirit of God, historically, contextually, grammatically, doctrinally, and hopefully practically. Here it is. In Romans 5, first of all, we find justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means pronounced righteous. It means proven innocent. Secondly, we find not only justification, but we find sanctification. God is setting us apart every day. Hallelujah. I'm getting somewhere. Y'all hang with me. All I'm doing is laying some groundwork right now, but we're going to build upon that in a moment. And then thirdly, we find not only justification, verse 1, and sanctification, verse 2 and 3 and 4, but we come to verse 5 through verse 10, we find the key word of salvation. God committed his love towards us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. I said that to bring us to verse 12. Are you in verse 12? If you are, say amen. Remember, trade our disobedience for his obedience. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who was that one man? You know who it was. Who was it? Adam and Eve. Exactly. One man, one woman. Sin entered into the world. And death by sin. Not only physically death, but spiritual death. That's why a man must be born again. We're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And so, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And all have sinned. Skip down to verse 19. And the Apostle Paul is describing this state of not only condemnation but justification. We are condemned before God, man sinner by nature, choice, and birth. Look at verse 19. And as by one man's disobedience, remember I said let's trade our disobedience for what? For his obedience. Many were made sinners. Go back to verse 19. And as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, bless the Lord. Stop right there for a moment. Will I trade my disobedience for his obedience? I'm not just talking about before we're saved. I'm talking about even after we're saved. How many have ever sinned? Let me see your hand. All of us have sinned. If you didn't raise your hand, you got a problem with lying. We're all sinners by nature, choice, and birth. In fact, Paul said, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. We've all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. But can I tell you something? This became a reality to me. I remember as a teenager. And I'm not painting a sad picture here, but I'm just telling you a personal testimony. I remember coming from a good home as a teenager. We grew up in a nice home, had a nice family. We had pretty much anything, you know, comfortability as far as a living, etc. We lived in Perry, Georgia, over by Camelot. I don't know if you know that's that, but anyway, across from the hospital. And at the age of 13, my parents were divorced. My dad moved off to Macon. I lived with my mom. Things changed. And so my dad was doing the best he could to help and pay, and my mom was doing the best she could. We moved from a nice neighborhood, a nice home, to a home that, let me just put it this way, it was a house. My particular room had pieces of board, plywood, nailed to a garage. Basically, that was what it was, just a few pieces of plywood put up on an outside garage. No heat, no air conditioning. Yet I was somewhat thankful, I guess, as a teenager. But I remember waking up one morning, and I remember looking in the refrigerator. I opened the refrigerator door. I looked in the refrigerator, and God being my witness, there was one box of potatoes in the refrigerator. That was it. No milk, no ketchup, no Coke, no nothing. One box of dried potatoes. And often that was the case at the time. It was a change for me, to say the least. I remember looking at that box of potatoes before I went to school and wondering, do I want potatoes again or not? I slammed the door as if to get somewhat angry. I had a friend to come pick me up and take me to school. And so we were on our way to school. We dropped by a donut shop. How many like donuts? Let me see your hand. All right. I love donuts. Some man said, he prayed and asked God if it was his will, he'd stop by the donut shop and get a donut. He said after the 10th time around the parking lot, he said they found a parking place. Praise God, it must have been the will of God. I don't know about that, but I know this. Hey, man, I could eat them donut holes like they were going out of style. You like them little donut holes? Man, they would melt in your mouth and not in your hand. I could eat 12 as an appetizer. Somebody say amen. Anyway, we went to it was really basically a mobile home / trailer. It was a business. It was a donut business. And the man that ran the business, I'm just telling you from a teenager's perspective, he was a kind of a grumpy old man. He was all right, but just kind of, angry. It seemed like he was all the time angry. And anyway, my friend and I, we went to this donut shop, and as a teenager right before school, and I saw these donut holes. I said, I'd like 12. He gave me a basket. He gave me a sack of donut holes. He said, here. And then he went back to the back of the store. He was back there probably 3 to 5 minutes. It seemed like a long time for me. I had to get to school, and I did something that I shouldn't have done. I got the bag. I walked out of the store without paying for them. I was not a Christian at the time. I'll never forget. He ran out of the store. He grabbed me by the arm. He said, young man, you stole them donuts. He said, I could have you in big trouble. He said, I could call the police and you would be in big trouble. I'll never forget looking at that man. And for the first time, I realized I was caught red-handed. Now, don't act like you've never taken something that you didn't pay for, or at least you knew wasn't yours, or at least you lied. We're all sinners. I'm not excusing that. I'm saying this. He said, I could call the police, but he said, I'm not going to do it. Gone to school. I never forget that. For the first time, I realized the grace of God. I was guilty, and yet he did not punish. He did not call the police. And for the first time, I realized that I received grace that day, something I didn't deserve. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to open my eyes in a small way, right then and there, about His grace. How many know we don't deserve the grace of God? Now, it doesn't matter what you've done or what I've done. The point is this, we can trade our disobedience for His obedience. Through one man's disobedience, all are made sinners. But through one man's obedience, we're all made righteous. Tell me, have you got something in your life right now that maybe you've been disobeying God over? Maybe it's something, maybe not taking donuts that weren't yours. Maybe it's something else that you got in your life right now that it's not just right with God. Maybe it's a bad attitude. And maybe it's not giving God glory. Maybe it's being a critical spirit. It could be a judgmental spirit. What about bitterness? What about lust and lust of the flesh? What about the pornography on the internet and the movies that you have learned how to justify watching, and yet you know that it's not pleasing to God? Oh yes, no wonder Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon the maid? First bargain, first trade. Lord, I want to trade my disobedience for your obedience. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God. Here it is. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for me. I was caught red-handed. You were caught red-handed. We all stand guilty before God. And yet mercy and grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I can make the exchange. That's where you can trade. Yea, bargain, say, dear God, I know that I don't deserve to go to heaven. I know that, Lord, I am guilty because, Lord, I have sinned, but I believe and trust in your sacrificial death on the cross. Number one, how about a deal of a lifetime? Number two, how about exchanging our death to self, that is crucifixion, for our life in Christ Jesus? Notice in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Say that with me. I am crucified with Christ. One more time. And then notice what he says. Nevertheless, I live. Paul says, I'm living. I'm crucified. I'm not dead literally, but I am dead spiritually. Oh, wait a minute. Put your thinking cap on. Put your spirituality eyes on. We're fixing to go a little deeper in this truth. Now, I know this is going to cause some of you to want to look out the window. I know this is going to cause some of you to drop your head and look at your phone. But don't let the devil lure you to sleep right now, because this is the key to unlocking the door for living in victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's really Christ living in me now. You know, I'm so glad, and I emphasize the fact that God comes to take us to heaven. But aren't you glad that He comes to give us a little heaven here below? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And some of us today, we're tired of just trying to live in a legalistic way, pleasing God in a legalistic way, trying to check off our little rules and regulations to think that that's pleasing God. God's wanting us to understand who we are in Christ and what he has done for us so that we can live every day a more than a conqueror and be a victorious over besetting sins and things that drag us down, worry and anxiety and anger and all that kind of stuff. But you gotta listen now. You're not gonna catch this. Many of you today are gonna leave today and you say, "What was Pastor talking about?" And many of you today, this will be the first time you've heard what I'm sharing with you. Others, you've heard it over and over again. Others, we need to learn not only to hear it, but appropriate the truth of God. I'm telling you, this verse right here, what I'm sharing with you this morning, is something you're going to have to work out in your own life. You're going to have to understand it, and then by faith, appropriate the truth of the Word of God. If you do not appropriate this truth, if you do not take what I'm saying and incorporate it in your own life, if you do not take this and ask God the Holy Spirit to show you in your own life where you are not getting victory, then you'll probably leave like water on a duck's back. You will not listen. You will not take heed. You will not appropriate it if you don't say, "Dear God, I know this is a mighty truth that you want to free me from the way I've been living." Number two, how about exchanging the death life for the life in Christ? All right. I want to draw your attention to Romans 6. You're in Romans. Turn back to Romans 6. Romans 6. Everybody turning now. Everybody. Anybody need a Bible? Please look on with somebody if you don't have a Bible. This is so important. Please look on with somebody. And if you don't have a Bible and nobody's close to you, I'll come over there where you're at. You need to see this. And please take notes, because this truth is something that's going to be hard to grasp in the limited amount of time we've got right here in church. You're not going to get it all. You need to look at it later. And I need to let God, the Holy Spirit, bring the truth to our minds, our hearts, because. It's just too much often for us to really think through and meditate and apply what God is saying, because of the distractions around us, because of the limitations of time, because our minds, etc. So, Romans chapter 6, here is that deep truth. Exchange the death life for the Christ life. Crucifixion for resurrection. I begin in Romans chapter 6 verse 1. Paul the apostle is absolutely refuting what some are teaching, and furthermore, what some are teaching today. They were not only teaching in his day, they're teaching it today. Here's what they're saying. I'm under grace. I can live any way I want to live. I can do anything I want to do. God understands. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm living under grace. God says that's disgrace. God says that's disgrace. Look at it, Romans 6:1. And see, a lot of people excuse their sin, excuse their habits, excuse the way they live, and say, "Oh, I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven anyway." And Paul's saying, "Don't you understand? We're not to continue in sin that grace may abound." Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That is, don't keep thinking that just because we're saved that God excuses our sin. He doesn't. That's what revival is. What I'm sharing with you today is the key to living in victory. As we talked about a moment ago, we've come through the revival meeting, camp meeting, but now what? Now God wants to dig deeper. Now God wants to understand day by day, moment by moment, this is how we're to live. This is how we're to yield. This is how we're to surrender. This is how he releases his power in us, and to live a supernatural life that you can't live outside the power of God. I'm glad God's made provisions. Hallelujah. All right, now I got to quickly hit these highlights. I wish I had time to expound all of Romans 6. However, my time is limited. Therefore, I'm just going to touch on a couple of verses. For example, look at verse 3. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 9. They all start with this verb, knowing. Knowing, 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 knowing. Say it with me. Knowing. One more time. God says, know you not that as many as you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been baptized in his death. Verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. I just quoted verse 6, verse 3, and verse 9. The word knowing is the word gnosko. And the word gnosko, listen to me, don't miss this, don't miss this. God is telling us something he wants us to know. Amen. He's not asking your opinion about it. He's not asking you what you think about it. He's not asking you to work for it. He's saying, I've done this for you in Christ. And I want you to know this. Now, by the way, beloved, this is after you're saved. Hear me. How many are saved? Raise your hand. All right. Are you living in victory? How many are living in victory day by day? Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. How many need God to just open your eyes and break through today because there's some stuff in there that you just can't get victory over? I remember when God opened my eyes to this truth back in 1982. I was struggling over a whole bunch of things in my life like we all do at times. And yet God opened my life and broke through on these wonderful principles I'm sharing with you today as we appropriate them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, look, knowing. And here's the deal. Remember, number one, verse 6, zero in on verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be, help me out somebody. That the body of sin might be, help me out somebody. Destroyed. Say it with me. You know what that word destroyed means? It's not a word that means completely eradicated or annihilated. Rather, it means rendered inoperative. Write that down. Rendered inoperative. You see, if you read that, you say, wait a minute. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Rendered inoperative. Here's the deal. When we come to Christ, when we get born of the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden we realize Jesus, it's not as easy to live the Christian life as we think it is. Hello. We keep floundering around with thoughts. We keep floundering around with attitudes. We keep saying stuff. That I want to do, I find myself not doing. That I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But wait a minute. Let me share with you, as the Spirit of God helps, in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. God is telling you and me today, watch this, he's not asking your opinion, he's not asking you to work for it. He's saying, I've taken your life and I put it on the cross. I've nailed it to the cross. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The word is in the aorist tense, which means was crucified with him. You see, if you read the Bible, how many read the Bible? Let me see your hand. If you read the Bible enough, you'll find out these terms, particularly in the epistles Paul writes. In Christ, seated with Christ, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ. What does it mean? Does it mean we were there when Jesus died? No. He means it's a divine act where God the Father takes our life, places it in his Son, and we become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and in him we live and move and have our being. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It's not something way off yonder somewhere. It's now. Hallelujah. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be rendered inoperative. Can I put it this way? Knocked out of gear. Now, we can relate to that, can't we? Knocked out of gear. Here's the deal. You have the choice to put it in gear. You have the choice. I have the choice. Either I put it in gear or I don't put it in gear. Every one of you this morning that drove to church, you had to put your vehicle in gear in order to get it to go. And he's saying this. The old man has been rendered inoperative, knocked out of gear, and therefore it has been dealt with. Now, here's the key. Skip down to verse 11. Skip down to verse 11. Likewise, after saying what he's done for us in Christ, co-crucifixion. Here, listen to me. It's a trade of a lifetime. Trade our old man, the flesh, if you will, for the new man. Our crucifixion for his resurrection. Look at verse number 11. Are you in verse 11? Say amen if you're there. Likewise. What's the next word? Likewise. What's the next word? Reckon. Say it with me. Reckon. What does that word mean? It's a word that's in the present tense. It means this. In the present tense, it means keep on reckoning. Well, what's the word reckon mean? It's an accounting term. Really? Yep. It's an accounting term. And what's an accounting term? It means this. Are you ready for this? Count on a fact. Count on a fact. Say it with me. Count on a fact. And if I was to give you a quick outline, here's what it would be in Romans 6. Fact, faith, fruit. Fact, verses 1 through verse 10. Faith, verse 11. Fruit, verses 11 through 13. Or if you want another outline, here it is. Revelation, God opens our eyes to see who we are in Christ. Appropriation, verse 11. And manifestation, verse 11 through 13. Or if you want another outline, here it is. Knowing, reckoning, yielding. Those are the verbs right there in Romans 6. Look at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead unto what? Dead unto sin, but what? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourselves to be dead. Let's say that together. Reckon yourselves to be dead. What does he mean? Count on a fact. Can I ask you a question? How many have got a credit card? You ever go to Walmart or somewhere with a credit card? Swipe that baby? Do you run down to the bank and count your money every time you swipe that baby? Do you run down to the bank and make sure you got enough money in there? You probably ought to, somebody say amen. But you don't do it. Why? You reckon, you count on the fact it's there. And you don't get a check, a notice in the mail that says your check has bounced, amen. I forgot to add that. No, really. You count on the fact it's there. You swipe your card, it's there. Same word for reckon. Count on a fact. Count on a fact. It's an accounting term. And here's what God's saying. I want you to know you've been crucified with Christ, but I want you to reckon yourselves, count on a fact, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Count on a fact. I hear you say it. I can hear you all the way up here. Preacher, I don't feel dead to sin. God doesn't ask you how you feel. He told you he's already done it. That's where we miss it. We try to wait for a feeling. No. Fact, faith, fruit. We're saved by faith. We're to live by faith. And when God tells us he's done something for us, we're to believe it by faith and act upon it by faith. And at that moment, resurrection power is released in our mortal soul to make us overcomers. And we can't explain it. All we can say is God did it. I don't know why I didn't lose my temper. Wait a minute. I don't know why I didn't find my temper. Somebody say amen. I don't know why I didn't get mad. I don't know why I didn't lust. I don't know why I did this or didn't that. I'll tell you why. You count on a fact. Reckon yourselves to be dead. I know you're saying, but I don't feel dead. A couple of years ago, I was riding down the road, and I noticed an orange snake slithering across the road. I could tell by the headlights it was a copperhead. And as I was riding down the road and seeing that copperhead, I got out of my car. I got a tool out of the trunk. Boom, boom, I killed that copperhead, cut his head off. And there he was, wiggling around, head severed from his body. Neighbors came out, and they looked at that snake. They said, he was wiggling. He's alive. Look, he's still alive. Look, he's still alive. Somebody jumped, came in and said, no, his head's been cut off. He's dead. Somebody said, he's alive. Look, he's still wiggling. He's still squirming. He's alive. No, he's dead. He's alive. No, he's dead. He's alive. No, he's dead. I spoke up and said, he's dead. He just don't know it. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You're dead. You just don't know it. Oh, boy, that really nailed it down. You're dead. You just don't know it. God said, you're dead. He didn't ask you how you feel about it. He didn't ask you about your opinion. He didn't ask you to work for it. He said, we've been crucified with Christ. I'm glad when God tells us something, brother, he means it, and we can take it to the bank. Amen and amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And so, dead to sin, but alive unto God. Exchange. Not only our disobedience for his obedience, but exchange death's life for the Christ life. Number three, I've got to quickly move. Number three, there's a third trade you don't want to miss. It will be a trade of a lifetime. You ready? Number one, change/trade our disobedience for his obedience. Secondly, our death, that is the crucifixion, co-crucifixion, to co-resurrection. Number three, exchange, trade our self-flesh-filled life for the spirit-filled life. I want to draw your attention to chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Turn to Romans 8.
My, I wish we didn't have to skip over verse chapter 7, but we got to, fault calls of time. Chapter 7, chapter 6, there is victory over the law and trying to please God and over sin. And then chapter 7, Paul is describing his wrestling over victory in Jesus, and yet he comes to the conclusion he can't do it by himself. It's going to take God in him. Somebody say amen. And some of you got to come to the end of the rope of yourself. You've been struggling, you've been striving, you've been trying to, in the energy of the flesh, to try to please God. Today, you need to give up. Today, you need to give in. Today, you need to wave the white flag and say, God, I've been trying to live the Christian life, but I haven't been able to live the Christian life. And thank God, you didn't tell me to try my own strength, but you gave me everything I need to live the Christian life. Will you do it today? Oh, listen, brother, we'd have a lot more spirit-filled living, a lot less problems in our homes and our families and the church if we'd just say, God, I know you've made this possible for me in Christ. Romans 8. Are you in Romans 8? Starts off with no condemnation. Ends with no separation. In between's plenty of liberation. In chapter 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When's the last time you heard a message like this? You don't hear a lot of messages like this, do you? Because this is a little deeper. This is not for baby Christians. This is for those Christians who want to move on to maturity in Christ. And God has called us to move on. Somebody say amen. We got to get off the milk. We got to get in the meat. As a child of God, we got to dive a little further. Yes, we got to get in the meat of the Word. You don't bypass this. You don't graduate from this. This is everyday appropriating by faith. All right? So, Romans 8. Skip down to verse number 13. And here he's comparing the spirit-filled life versus the flesh-filled life. In my flesh dwells no good thing. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Chapter 8, verse 13, if you're there, say amen. Look at it. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Question, verse 13. If we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify. What's the word mortify mean? The word mortify means put to death. Look, you got a choice every day to put that thing to death. Don't live a carnal Christian life. Hey, look, you're going to be a stumbling block to everybody around you. They're going to stumble over you and say, I thought he was a Christian. Look the way he acts. Look the way he talks. Look the way she's gossiping about this, that, and the other. No, God help us to grow up in Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how we grow. It's not super spirituality. It's Bible. I said it's Bible. I said this is basic Christianity, what we're talking about this morning. Basic Christianity. And if you don't got it, it's not God's fault. It's their own fault. Hey, look, this is great. This is glorious. I'm telling you, husbands, wives, daddies, mamas. Oh, yes. I've got to quickly hasten. Flesh-filled life or spirit-filled life? How many of you moved in a while? Have you ever moved in a while? Or have you moved your house or belongings or moved from another room? Here's the deal. You got keepers, you got throwers. You got people that want to keep stuff, and then you got people that want to throw away stuff. I'm a keeper. My wife, bless her heart, she's a thrower. If I put something on the counter, brother, she's going to throw it away in a heartbeat. I mean, nothing important like a document, but if I don't have it nailed down, it's going to be thrown away. They say keepers and throwers marry each other. I don't know about that, but I know this. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And so I keep everything. Man, screws, bolts, whatever, nails. Man, I need this. I might need this someday. Can I get a witness? Yep, I might need this someday. But throwers and keepers, hey, I came to say this. There's some things you need to throw away, and there's some things you need to keep. We need to throw away the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, write this down. Walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another. You may not do the things you please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and loves. I'll tell you what, when I preach this message and have through the years, not the same message but different messages, there's no message that the devil, that I've noticed that people go to sleep in more than this. The devil would rather you go to sleep in something like this and not, wait a minute, what's he talking about? Confusion? Oh, it's very simple, beloved. Throw away from stuff and keep some stuff. Spirit-filled living. Hey, I've got to close. Let's make a deal of a lifetime. A deal of a lifetime. Have you exchanged your disobedience for his obedience? Have you said, dear God, I've been living according to the dictates of the old man, the sin nature, if you will, some call it, and the flesh, if you will, self, instead of living crucified and buried and risen with Christ. Now I've been living, Lord, being led by the flesh. Can I tell you something? I'm not being critical here, but I just want to share my own personal struggle. If I watch too much TV, I am destined to live in the flesh. That's just me. Might not be you. You may can handle it. But if I watch too much TV, it's in your face, it's flesh, it's nakedness, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's hard to live a spirit-filled life and have my mind consumed with stuff going on. Here's the deal. Jesus, think through my mind. Jesus, look through my eyes. Jesus, listen through my ears. Jesus, speak through my mouth. Jesus, work through my hands. Jesus, love through my heart. Jesus, walk through my feet. There's an old song that goes like this. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. And see, this is what Paul is talking about. This is what God wants us to understand. The Spirit, I'm going to say something. Now listen now, I'm not being critical. Y'all hear me. I'm not being critical. I don't have time to go into great detail. And I've got some dear Pentecostal friends. I've got dear charismatic friends. I love them dearly. We agree to disagree. Some of my dear Pentecostal friends, and I preach in a lot of Pentecostal churches, a lot of Assembly of God, they'll say, if you've not spoken in tongues, you're not Spirit-filled. Wrong. I disagree with you. The Spirit-filled life is not some manifestation with jibber-jabber. Rather, the Spirit-filled life is being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and be controlled by the Holy Ghost. I don't have time to go into more detail. I just wanted to share that with you. But anyway, besides that, and I love my friends, and we can agree to disagree on this, and I still love them, hug them, be glad to fellowship with them and talk with them. Anyway, so I'm not trying to just throw rocks. I'm just telling you, you need to read the Bible and see what the Word of God says. Check it out. Study to show thyself approved unto God. But wait a minute. I'll close on this. My time's gone. The trade of a lifetime. My disobedience for his obedience. My self-life. Death to self, crucifixion to resurrection in Christ. My flesh-filled life or the Spirit-filled life. Be led of the Spirit. Are you a Spirit-filled daddy? Are you a Spirit-filled mama? Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? The other day, I noticed there was a mama mockingbird out in the front yard. And I discovered there was a nest of baby mockingbirds in the bushes outside of our home. Other day I was going to get in my car and I noticed the mama mockingbird landed on the ground. Well, about that time, a little baby mockingbird jumped out of the nest, landed on the yard, in the front yard, on the grass. The baby was not a newborn baby. It was, you could tell, had grown, had developed a little bit. And the mama mockingbird stood in front of the baby mockingbird, fluttered out her wings like this and began to flap her wings in front of the baby mockingbird, almost as to show, hey, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. And the little baby mockingbird was looking up at the mama mockingbird, and the mama mockingbird began to flap her wings and flutter her wings, and then the mama mockingbird jumped on a bush as if to say, here's how you do it. But the little baby was kind of looking around and trying to figure out what it had. And finally, the little baby mockingbird said, you know, I got wings too. And the little baby mockingbird started doing the wings like mama mockingbird did and started flapping those little baby mockingbird wings. And wasn't very long, I noticed that the little baby mockingbird was flapping the wings hard and hard. Next thing you know, the little baby jumped up on a bush. And it wasn't very long for that little baby mockingbird began to fly. I thought about exactly what I'm sharing today. Jesus came to earth to live a life without sin. He flapped his wings. He said, this is how you do it. And not only that, but I'm going to go back to heaven. He flapped his wings. He ascended up in glory. He said, this is how you do it. He showed us how to do it. And then he said, I'm going to come again one day. I'm not going to leave you yourself. I'm going to fly away. And then he's showing us that hey, one day we too are going to fly away.
Oh, yes.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Are you going to fly away? But until then, we can fly right now by the power of a living God. This is a trade of a lifetime. Would you stand to your feet, please?